philosophical writings. He had rejected contemporary ontology and insisted that man existed prior to infinity, though not with too many options. He differentiated between existence and existence with a capital E, and knew one was preferable, but could never remember which. Human freedom for Needleman consisted of being aware of the absurdity of life. God is silent, he was fond of saying. Now, if we can only get man to shut up. Authentic being, reasoned Needleman, could only be achieved on weekends, and even then it required the borrowing of a car. Man, according to Needleman, was not a thing apart from nature, but was involved in nature, and could not observe his own existence without first pretending to be indifferent, and then running around to the opposite end of the room quickly in the hopes of glimpsing himself. His term for the life process was Angstzeit, loosely meaning anxiety time, and suggested man was a creature doomed to exist in time, even though that was not where the action was. After much reflection, Needleman's intellectual integrity convinced him that he didn't exist, his friends didn't exist, and the only thing that was real was his IOU to the bank for 6 million marks. Hence, he was charmed by the National Socialist philosophy of power, or as Needleman put it, "I have the kind of eyes that are set off by a brown shirt." After it became apparent that National Socialism was just the type of menace that Needleman stood against, he fled Berlin. Disguised as a bush and moving sideways, only 3 quick paces at a time, he crossed the border without being noticed. Everywhere in Europe, Needleman went. Students and intellectuals were eager to help him, awed by his reputation. On the run, he found time to publish Time, Essence, and Reality, a systematic reevaluation of nothingness, and his delightful lighter treatise, The Best Places to Eat While in Hiding. Chaim Weizmann and Martin Buber took up a collection and obtained signed petitions to permit Needleman to emigrate to the United States, but at the time, the hotel of his choice was full. With German soldiers minutes from his hideout in Prague, Needleman decided to come to America after all. But a scene occurred at the airport when he was overweight with his luggage. Albert Einstein, who was on the same flight, explained to him that if he would just remove the shoe trees from his shoes, he could take everything. The two frequently corresponded after that. Einstein once wrote him, "Your work and my work are very similar, although I'm still not exactly sure what your work is." Once in America, Needleman was rarely out of public controversy. He published his famous Non-Existence, What to Do If It Suddenly Strikes You, also the classic work on linguistic philosophy, Semantic Modes of Non-Essential Functioning, which was made into the hit movie They Flew by Night. Typically, he was asked to resign from Harvard because of his affiliation with the Communist Party. He felt only in a system with no economic inequality could there be real freedom, and cited as the model society an ant farm. He could observe ants for hours and used to muse wistfully. "They're truly harmonious. If only their women were prettier, they'd have it made." Interestingly, when Needleman was called by the House Un-American Activities Committee, he named names and justified it to his friends by citing his philosophy. "Political actions have no moral consequences, but exist outside of the realm of true being." For once, the academic community stood chastened, and it was not until weeks later that the faculty at Princeton decided to tar and feather Needleman. Needleman, incidentally, used the same reasoning to justify his concept of free love, but neither of the two young co-eds would buy it, and the 16-year-old blew the whistle on him. Needleman was passionate about the halting of nuclear testing and flew to Los Alamos, where he and several students refused to remove themselves from the site of a scheduled atomic detonation. As minutes ticked off and it became apparent the test would proceed as planned, Needleman was heard to mutter, "Uh-oh," and made a run for it. What the newspapers did not print was that he had not eaten all day. It is easy to remember the public Needleman, brilliant, committed, the author of Styles of Modes, but it is the private Needleman I will always fondly recall. The Sandor Needleman who was never without some favorite hat. Indeed, he was cremated with a hat on. A first, I believe. Or the Needleman who loved Walt Disney movies so passionately, and who, despite lucid explanations of animation by Max Planck, could not be dissuaded from putting in a person-to-person call to Minnie Mouse. When Needleman was staying at my house as a guest, I knew he liked a particular brand of tuna fish.